The Sloppy Sorting Hat is a podcast that includes adult language and content, as well as spoilers from your favorite TV shows, movies, and books. It is also a zero-budget production that may sometimes have weird audio quirks. You have been warned, and this is your last warning.
It's the Sloppy Sorting Hat.
Welcome to the Sloppy Sorting Hat. This is a podcast where we sort characters from our favorite movies, books, and TV shows into the Hogwarts houses, but because the hat and we are a little sloppy, we will most likely get it wrong. I'm Amanda.
I'm Danny.
I'm Michelle. We've got tequila, games, and something slightly resembling gumption.
I like corny. I'm looking for corny in my life, and I'm sure we'll be a little extra corny while we sort the holiday. But first, we need to get sloppy like Graham when he's about to take a leak on Iris's front porch. Phenomenal first impression.
Ready, Fred? Ready, George? Bottoms up.
This sloppy segment is Patronus. So during the Patronus segment, we have to drink some type of tequila, margarita type of drink. And then we'll discuss one of the Harry Potter actors' Patronuses. So I'm drinking a cranberry margarita, and I'm calling it the Mary McGonagall margarita. It has cranberry juice, triple sec, lime juice, tequila, and some garnish of frozen cranberries. And guess who we're going to discuss? Dame Margaret Natalie Smith, also known as Maggie Smith.
McG.
I really want to be a dame.
You got to be British.
What's a dame?
It's like a sir, but for ladies.
Oh, nice.
Why do I have to be British to be a dame?
I mean, I guess you don't. Elton John's 100% British. I don't know why in my mind for a second I was like, Elton John's not British and he's a sir. He's British. He's definitely British.
Oh, it's like a fan. You get like appointed to be a dame and a sir, right?
Yeah, it's like the queen.
Like the queen.
The queen calls you that.
I don't even know the queen, so I guess there's no chance of me being a dame.
I think you have to do something really great and you have to be British.
Well, I'm not going to do anything great and I'm not British. So, all right, let's just move on to this, which is also not going to be great. I think Maggie Smith's Patronus is a sea turtle. Because sea turtles live to be 50 to 100 years old, and Maggie has been active in the acting world for 70 years. And she is just as amazing now as she was when she was younger. And I think sea turtles are still really cool as they mature, just like she is. So, I don't know. Plus, sea turtles think jellyfish are delicious. And I don't know if Maggie does. I thought that was an interesting fact.
Let's ask her.
She probably does.
Yeah, honestly. I think she does. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I want to say owl, though, because owls are wise. And she's
you know
so
what? Adam said owl, but, too. So.
But, I mean, I like the tea-surtle argument.
Tea-surtle?
Yeah.
It's very British of you.
I started saying it wrong accidentally, stopped myself to correct myself, and then was like, nah, it's going to be funny, and then decided to say it wrong.
Oh, man.
And that's a little peek into how my brain works.
I just almost spit out my drink when you said that.
Okay, so Michelle would pick owl or tea-surtle. Amanda, what do you think?
Tea-surtle. I pick tea-surtle.
I pick tea-surtle, too. I think that I agree with your reasoning, though, Danny. I think that, you know, I think this was your reasoning, that tea-surtles get wiser as they grow up, and I think that's what's happening to Maggie Smith, and she's the bomb.com, and so are tea-surtles. They're the bomb.com.
All that and a bag of crisps.
Yeah, it's just like sea turtles or tea turtles are really cute when they're young, but they're also like really cool creatures as they get old too.
Yeah.
Maggie
and I have that in common with the tea turtle.
She's been in so much. It's
she really
insane,
has.
Really.
Yeah, she's pretty incredible because I know that she was going through cancer when she was filming.
Harry Potter.
And she still did amazing. So hats off to you, Maggie. Wait, Maggie Smith. Is that her name?
Yep. Margaret Natalie Smith.
Hats off to you. You did amazing.
All right, Amanda, what are you drinking?
Oh, I am drinking a red wine because we know that Amanda in the movie loves to drink her red wine as she's shopping to get some supplies for her self party that she was having.
Supplies.
It is called Firesteed. It's a Pinot Noir from Oregon. It's 13.5%, and it's, I don't really know anything else about it, but it's good. You know, it's a red wine. Typical. Mish, what are you drinking?
Well, in honor of the holiday season, I'm drinking a good old Great Lakes Christmas Ale.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spicy, delicious. always just a classic this time around, this time of year, if you're in the Midwest. So, yeah, cheers.
Do you have a cinnamon sugar rim?
No, I'm drinking out of a bottle.
All right, let's move on.
Yes, we can move on. So for this next segment, it's called Oh Bloody Beep.
Oh, bloody hell. All she wants to do is me. My lips are getting chapped. Look.
This is where I will take a sentence from the Harry Potter books and beep out a word, and it's supposed to be funny. We'll see how that works. And then Danny and Michelle can guess the person who said it, the book, the chapter, or the page number. And we'll be taking points and see who wins. And I'm excited that I'm not playing and that I'm doing this segment because I always lose. Okay. You guys ready for the first sentence?
So bring ready. On.
All right. She's bored. She used to around outside. If I could just let her out at night. We'll go with, I don't know, Danny, you can go first.
Fly?
Yes.
Yes. Whew, I'm on the board.
All right.
Okay.
Do you want to guess?
Said it. Harry said it.
Yes.
And it was in Chamber of Secrets.
Yep.
Chapter 2?
Nope.
Okay, Mish for the steal.
Okay, chapter 1?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Page, fuck if I know, 4.
Nope. Page 1.
It's page 1?
Yep.
God damn it.
All right. So Danny has 3 points. Michelle has 1.
Yes.
Mish, you get start. To go. Mish, you get to go first this time. Okay. Ready? Okay.
Yeah.
I cannot allow you to my students, Dolores.
Oh, gross.
Ooh. Fuck. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's manhandle.
Oh my god, it is manhandle. Wow.
I would have never guessed that.
Wow, it took me forever. I had to pull it out of my fucking spine.
Out of your butt.
Yeah.
Out of all the right. Bowels of your castle.
Do you want to guess the person who said it?
Yeah, it's Dumbledore. It's Dumbledore. Yep. Yeah. And then the book is it has to be Order of the Phoenix, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. Because Dolores refers to Dolores Umbridge.
Yes.
Yeah, not the other Dolores. The more popular one.
I think it's, I don't know, chapter 20?
No.
Okay.
Chapter 16.
No. It was chapter 27, page 616.
Jesus, so, that was a big book.
Danny, you have 3 points. Michelle, you have 4 points. Yep, 4.
Damn it, I was doing so well.
All right, well, Danny gets to go first this time. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know what has gotten into you lately. First you Malfoy, and then you walk out on Professor Trelawney.
Oh, God. I know it's in between two words. Punch. I'm going to have to go with punch.
That's incorrect.
Hit. It's hit.
Yep.
It's damn hit.
It. Was I was between punch and hit, too. I was like, oh, whatever one she says, if it's wrong, I got it.
You're welcome.
So that's Ron. I get a half a
point for that.
Yep.
And that would be in Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yes.
And probably pretty late, chapter 30?
No.
Okay.
Danny, you want to try? I mean, it's not going to really matter, but Danny, do you want to try chapter?
17.
Oh, very close. It was chapter 16.
Damn it. Oh, damn.
Not that
page 394. I really tried. No, but page 326. Oh, yeah, 326. Okay, so Danny, you have 3 points. Mish, you won with a lot of points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think.
Woo! Jesus, wow.
The queen's day is queen.
Really good quotes, Amanda.
Yeah, oh,
really
thank good. You. Thank
they
you.
Were very funny.
That and first, we could actually guess was, the words.
Yeah, yeah. That's
fuck Malfoy, trying. Yeah.
I cannot believe you got manhandled. That was amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, I had handle stuck in my brain, and I was like, can't be handle. And then I just had to kind of work into manhandle, so...
I really wanted it to be, like, maybe the word was hard, but, like, with Dolores, you know, like, you knew it wasn't going to be an Order of the Phoenix, and Dumbledore said it. So I wanted you guys to at least know one of the things.
Yeah.
It's very nice of you. I try to make it as hard as possible.
Yeah, but then it's not fun.
I have fun.
All right, it's time to sort.
When I call your name, you will come forth. I shall place a sorting hat on your head, and you will be sorted into your houses.
Mish, the major weeper, you go first.
All right, first up, I've got Ethan. And I don't know, man, like, this guy sucks. Who cares? You know? Like, like an asshole. Like, I guess I'll put him in Gryffindor because he's got a lot of nerve cheating on Amanda and then trying to somehow not get kicked out, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So... points for that, I guess. I don't know. He's a D-bag. I don't really want to spend a lot of time on him, honestly.
Yeah, it's just like very strange how he cheats on Amanda, but then tries to get her to feel bad for him.
Yeah.
It's a typical man thing that happens. You know.
Some
he's a typical man.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Douchey man.
All right, well, if we're done with Ethan.
Yeah, I feel like we're done. Enough. Yeah, all that's right. All the time he deserves.
So I'm up next, and I'm sorting Maggie. And Maggie is, she plays the girlfriend of Miles for, like, most of the movie. And I'm going to put her into Gryffindor. So we all know that Maggie is cheating on Miles, which is unfortunate. But once Miles finds out, she and him break up. But then she wants to get back with Miles. So she's obviously a dumb Gryffindor because she could have just not cheated on Miles. And, you know, wouldn't even be having this problem.
Uh-huh.
I also think she takes a really big risk when she goes out with her boy toy in public. In L.A., where you could possibly bump into Miles. Oh, wait, you did bump into Miles, you dumb Gryffindor. So that is why she's in Gryffindor.
Yeah, she totally lied about being in Santa Fe.
Yeah.
And so he, like, sent her gift there. That's just rude.
Yeah, she sucks.
Yeah, she's awful.
She sucks. She's not as bad as Ethan, but she's bad. Is she as bad as Ethan?
I think they're probably both just as bad.
They're probably, yeah.
Yeah.
They suck. But let's go on to the next one.
Yeah, let's not spend that much time on those two.
Because we're going to spend time on these two adorable kids, Olivia and Sophie, and I'm sorting both of them. Those two are just so cute. Their cute little faces, their adorable tent, their love for marshmallows. They're straight up Slytherins. They put on this cutesy act, but then the schemes come out. We never have grown-ups here that are girls, guilt-tripping their dad into sleeping around for their benefit.
Oh, my God.
You don't like tents? What do you mean, Olivia? This is not unheard of. Camping sucks. I mean, like, their tent was amazing, but I can understand Amanda's hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
You look just like my Barbie, just buttering up Amanda so she'll stay. And the ultimate Slytherin moment, inviting Amanda to spend the night and putting their beds together and basically full cock blocking their dad.
Yeah.
What a scheme.
What a scheme. I also like, I don't know which one says it, but one of them, when he gives them the hot chocolate, is like, she has more marshmallows than me. And
now you both have five.
Their dad shuts it down immediately. Nope, both have five. I counted.
And then he's like, and I gave you five also,
yeah,
Amanda.
You have five too, Amanda.
Aw, so this cute. Is going to be a whole big dude law fest, I think.
I think so.
I know. So. What a man. But yeah, I agree with kids you. They're cute. Scheming. They're scheming to get a new mom, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. They're so cute, though.
They're so cute. Yeah.
I think the littlest one, I think that's, is that Olivia?
Yeah.
Oh man, she's real cute. I love her.
I do take issue with, like, there's a whole like tension early on where Olivia is calling him and Sophie's calling him and their names are coming up on the phone and Amanda's like, who's Olivia? Who's Sophie? It's like, they're my kids. Why do they have their own phones?
That is a huge plot hole. I've thought about that so many times. Why do they?
This was in 2006, and I didn't even have a cell phone yet.
Yeah, this is 2006, and they are like 5 and 3 or something.
And I was
like,
17.
Yeah,
it's just dumb because Hollywood just needs to make it more dramatic. That, and it's like, it's Hollywood doesn't think about that these kids would not have their own cell phone.
That's like really the only issue I have with the movie. Otherwise, I think it's a perfect, wonderful movie. But like,
oh yeah, yeah.
I've always, even the very first time, I was like, how do those kids have phones? That doesn't make any sense.
I never even put that together. Wow.
Oh my God, I've thought about that every single time I watch the movie.
And it does come up as if it's coming from them, not like their babysitter saying their names.
Right, exactly.
No, it comes up as Olivia and Sophie. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, again, Amanda sees it, says, who's Olivia? Like, it says it on the screen.
Yeah, he doesn't say it's his kids. But that's fine. I mean,
Well, yeah. He doesn't want her to know that he has kids.
Right, right. Yeah. But eventually she finds out that they're.
Yes. And then she's like, oh, Olivia, right. Sophie. Yeah.
Right.
Man, they are cute. Yeah.
But they're cute. They're cute.
And they're a good addition to the movie, I think.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. All right. Up next, I'm sorting another asshole.
I mean
Jasper. I'm sorry, Jasper. So I thought about it a little bit, and I did consider very briefly making the Jasper's in Hufflepuff. He's such a good friend. It's not his fault Iris reads into it, like that kind of sloppy sorting, but fuck that noise. Like, he knows what he's doing. He knows that Iris is into him, and he just drags it along anyway, because he's a fuck twit. He gets off on the attention, clearly, and it's awful. Like, I mean, he 100% knows what he's doing. I firmly believe that, and he manipulates her, and he sucks. And he doesn't even deserve to be sorted. So,
yeah,
he's a fucking muggle.
I think he's actually worse than Ethan and Maggie.
Dad.
Because he plays the mental game afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's engaged and then inviting her to go on a trip with him. Like, that is worse than, I think so. He, like, shows up. Yeah. Like, what kind of power move is that? Showing up in L.A.
Oh, my God, that's so weird.
Shit for him?
He's a creeper. Creepy.
He knows that he can manipulate her and get her to do things for him. She'd do anything for him, and he knows that, and he uses it against her. And he knows that she is in love with him, and he manipulates her. So he's the worst kind of scum. Like, if you know somebody has feelings for you and you use it to your advantage, you're just a terrible person. You're just a bad person.
Yep.
And definitely.
So fuck. He I'm not. Sucks. There's no jokes. He just sucks.
He sucks.
Still makes me laugh.
I know. Wait, so what did we put him in?
He doesn't deserve to be sorted.
Oh, okay.
He's a muggle or a he's in England.
He's a nomesh.
He doesn't even deserve to be a muggle. He's a
nomesh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, we can move on and not think about creepy Jasper anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm up next. I'm gonna sort Miles. I'm putting Miles into Slytherin. So we all know that Slytherins are about themselves and they're pretty selfish. And I think Miles shows a lot of that during this movie. So number one, I don't freaking know. The first comment, he turns up the radio when Maggie is on the phone in the car. Who turns up the radio when the pastor is on the phone? Rude.
Rude.
He leaves Iris at the sushi place to pick up the bill because he has to get to Maggie ASAP. Rude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is late to Arthur's award ceremony, even though he has the damn music, the whole thing. He has the music. So annoying. He's rude. Also a bit cringe with the boob graze.
Yes.
And then the lingering on the cheek kiss for Iris. Bit cringe worthy there. And finally, he is well aware that the whole point of this trip for Iris is to find herself after going through a bad breakup or whatever the hell you want to call it with Jasper. And so then Miles just weasels his way in on her, and it's annoying. Let her find herself, Miles, you creepo. Okay, but for real, I think Miles is cute, but, you know, sloppy sorting, Slytherin.
Well, the accidental boob graze, that is a bit cringy.
At least she laughs,
but it's like, I don't know about that.
I know, it makes me feel awkward every time I watch it, and I don't like it.
I would rather, if that accidentally happened, I'd rather just not be spoken of.
You're right. Like, let's not bring that up. We're not going to talk about it.
I mean, Miles is cute, but I think you're totally right that Iris's journey is a self-discovery journey. And she flirts with Miles, and they ultimately, it seems like they're going to, like, try it out. But I love that moment when he kind of comes and is like, do you have a date for New Year's? And she's like, I'll be in England. Like, you know, it's not even like, oh, I could stay or whatever.
That's good that she did that.
Iris has kind of found herself, and that is really the most important part of her story.
I also think it's annoying that he, like, completely friend-zoned her. Not that she was really, like, trying for that. I think she was more, you know, into Arthur. but
Jasper? Oh, Arthur. Yeah, Arthur.
While in L.A. Then once it's convenient for him, once Maggie's like and him are donezo, he's like, oh, okay, well, let me try to get with Iris. And it's like, you've completely friend zoned her until it benefited you, dude. Rude.
Yeah, dude. Rude.
Isn't there a part where Miles is doing like the doodly doo?
Oh yeah, he goes do 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 do. I think it's driving with
scootily do, scootily do.
Oh, that's a different part, but yes.
Yeah, I like that. I actually really love the music in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, the music's great.
Well, the music is by Hans Zimmer. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it gives me like, I'm like, oh, The Holiday. Like, not that I just randomly hear the soundtrack that often, but I'm like, it like brings back the memory of The Holiday if I ever
hear. Yeah, it really, good
really like kind of gives me like chills. So yeah. I like that Miles has that going for him, that he's like in the music part of the movie.
Yeah,
that's true.
And Jack Black's fun, you know, plays a good Miles.
Yeah
Not saying that Jack Black is creepy. I know that was my whole argument, but we're sloppy here. Okay.
At least I am.
Sure. I'm very sloppy.
Yeah, out of the four main characters, he's the most awkward, cringy.
He is, but it's funny.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, he's probably not a bad fit for Iris. But
no, I think that they would work out, for sure.
Or they'd at least be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That too.
All right, I'm going to move on to Arthur, who is really the love interest for Iris in this movie. Yes,
definitely.
Because he's a nice old man. And Arthur is going to go to Gryffindor.
Woo!
Because attempting all those stairs at his old age is a huge risk.
Yeah.
I know he was determined. But dude, that could have went south super fast. I mean, Jennifer Lawrence fell at the Oscars, so it could happen to anyone.
Very true.
And also, he didn't even use the railing, which is like major risky Gryffindor vibes. There was a railing. He just decided he was going to like skip up the stairs as if he was like 50 years younger. He's also a chivalrous little old guy, telling Iris she should be the leading lady of her life and really kind of giving her a lot of pep talks throughout. And then also giving her that adorable corsage when they did their cute little date. That was pretty charming.
Oh my gosh, so charming.
Yeah.
He's so cute.
I think he's a cute little Gryffindor.
Yeah, I love the meet cute part. I tell people that all the time, the meet cute.
Yeah, it's I mentioned that recently too. And I obviously got it from this movie because I have not heard it in any other movie since.
I mean, it is a script writing term. That's legit. Right. But I totally agree that he's a cute little Gryffindor. I think that he and Iris, their stories really complement each other. He's kind of finding out how to be, you know, how to have like life without his love, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are similar. Oh, I just got chills. That's really cute. I really love this movie.
I know.
Yeah, me too.
It's a great movie, yeah. Well, speaking of chills,
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Let's go on.
Let's talk about the chills that I know I get every single time, and I'm sure you do too. That scene when Amanda comes back to the house and Jude Law steps out from into the doorway and he is weeping.
Oh yeah. That's so cute.
Oh my gosh. That is the scene. The scene.
What a fucking man. Just the best. Like,
so wait, who are you sorting?
Oh, I'm sorting Jude Law.
His name is Graham. He's like a graham cracker. I could eat it up.
Okay. No, fair enough. Fair enough. Let's put a little. Let's put a little structure on this graham cracker.
I prefer to have five marshmallows.
Graham, five marshmallows, and the chocolate is Jude Law.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorting Graham, who is played by Jude Law, and I'm sorting him into Gryffindor. And the reason I'm doing that is because he just fucking goes for it, right? Like, I love when he says that he finally knows what he wants and he wants Amanda. And I feel like he kind of, even if he doesn't realize it, wants her as soon as he sees her. He's like, you know, oh, most interesting girl award and like all that stuff. And just like, is just so into her from moment one and just shoots a shot, right? Just goes like, hey, I've known you for like 3 days, but I'm in love with you. I know it's more than 3 days.
But not like, many more. Yeah. he does. He makes the leap, right?
Right.
The big, risky leap of like jumping in and saying, I love you to Amanda. And I wish he was saying it to me, Amanda. But
I know. Yeah. And I mean, he does it in the way only someone as hot as Jude Law is and knows that he is probably could do. Like, I'm not shooting my shot like that.
Right.
He knows there's a little chance he's getting rejected. He knows he's a sexy man. But still, it's brave. You know, it's brave. And yeah. he's just a sensitive man. Sensitive men are babes.
And he's so like,
he's a babe.
He's like, you put him in Gryffindor.
I think that he's a Gryffindor.
Listen, I'm a little frazzled because I'm you know, thinking about him crying, like how hot he is and all that. I'm just frazzled. I'm sorry.
Okay, fine. I mean, I also really like Gryffindor for all those reasons, but I think Babe House wins out because of the hotness.
And also, he's Mr. Napkinhead.
He is Mr. Napkinhead.
But also his glasses.
Oh my god.
Oh,
yes.
The glasses.
Can I tell you how much I love glasses on men? And when Justin puts on his glasses, I just like swoon.
I also love glasses on men.
But then I like glasses more on Jude Law though. So
right, so glasses good. On Jude Law. No offense, Justin, but glasses on Jude Law more attractive than glasses on Justin.
Well, no, I mean they're both attractive.
And more attractive than glasses on Jim, frankly. I also like glasses on women. I'm an equal opportunity glasses type person.
Yeah, I agree.
I like glasses on my face when I don't have my contacts in.
Oh, yeah, me too. Actually, I'm doing that right now. He's the best.
Glasses. He just has, like, the best looks in the movie. Like, he just looks over his shoulder, mm-hmm. just, like, weeping. He has
a major weeper.
I love when she says, you know, after much, when we break up after much crying on your end. And he's like,
mm-hmm. It's like, mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just, I mean, I don't really know what else to say except that I think that I admire that he goes for it. And sometimes rewind that scene and watch it again when I'm watching the movie.
Yeah, not a dumb move. I think it really worked for him.
Yeah, I think it works out.
Really good risk.
Yeah.
High risk, high reward.
Yeah.
I love that he cried privately too, you know. So he was actually really sad. He wasn't crying just to manipulate Amanda. He was crying.
Yeah. Genuine real emotion and sentiment from him. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's cute.
And another point, he is chivalrous, he's old fashioned. One doesn't have sex with women who are unconscious.
Yeah. Oh my god.
The bar is so low.
Great point.
So we're like literally like, what a great guy, because he said that. So low.
Chivalry, it's not dead.
Chivalry not dead. Yep.
Everybody take note.
We don't sleep with women who are unconscious. Great. Oh, yes. What a feminist.
Okay. Are we done with Oh, I just wanted to do a shout out to Jude Law for also being Dumbledore in the new Fantastic Beasts movie.
Yeah.
I also want to give a shout out for him being a really great dad.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. He is a good dad.
In real life or Graham?
Graham.
I was like, I don't know about Jude Law's actual parents.
I don't even know if he has kids, but Graham's
Graham's a great dad. I agree.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of like Arthur Weasley.
Yeah.
I mean, he does, like,
seven, but still.
It seems like he's making it a habit to, like, go out and get shit-faced and then sleep at his sister's house. But, you know, he makes sure that the kids are taken care of, right?
Yeah.
The kids are fine. He needs his own time sometimes. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, I think we can move on.
I guess.
As much as we love Graham.
Yeah.
And Jude Law. But we're moving on, and Amanda is sorting Amanda. I had to say it. So I am sorting Amanda into Ravenclaw. She is a big-time exec and makes movie trailers, so obviously she's very creative. She has a lot of books, even though she doesn't read them. That's okay.
No, it is not.
Did you see that she had the Harry Potter book on the lineup, too?
Oh, nice.
It's really funny. I noticed that today. Anyways, she still has them, so it counts as a Ravenclaw trait. I don't care what you say, Mish. It still counts.
Mm-hmm.
She breaks up with her boyfriend and then goes on a holiday to Europe. I think that's very wise. Get out of town. After you break up with somebody. Perfect idea. But before she decides to go there, she makes sure there are no boys there. And I do think that's very important, even though she finds a boy. Whatever. I'm not talking about that. She wears high heels while traveling. Always a solid choice. She closes her eyes while driving, going past a truck. Another solid decision.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that she will never see Graham again and that she just broke up with somebody. So the obvious thing to do is to sleep with him. Great idea. And she drinks wine while she goes shopping. And I love that idea. I want to do that. She also has some awesome taste in music like Jealousy, Churning Saints into the Sea.
Wait, what is it? Is it Stakes? I always thought it was Stakes.
It's Saints.
Turning Saints. That makes saints. More sense than Stakes, for sure.
It's Snakes.
Oh. Turning Snakes. I always thought it was Stakes.
It's Saints.
Fine. You're probably anyway, right.
I looked at the lyrics. I literally copied and pasted them into my Google Doc. And then overall, I think she's a loner, loser, and complicated wreck. So she's going into Ravenclaw.
Yeah, and she also never cries. And that's great because, you know, crying makes you look weak.
Yeah, and vulnerable. You feel really vulnerable when
I'm
you
just
cry.
Kidding. You should what? Feel your feelings, people. Cry.
Feel okay. Your feelings. See a therapist.
It is not good to not cry. But you know what? Ravenclaws are a little closed off, so.
No.
Are they? I don't know.
I think they are. I think they're a little bit hard to, like, they find people to be vulnerable, I would guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I agree with this. She's obviously really smart and really good at what mm-hmm. she does for a living and makes a bunch of money. So Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
I do love the wine in the grocery. I think that.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Brilliant idea.
And then the cashier's like, oh, somebody's having a party. And she's like, oh yeah. It's a party of one.
Oh, Amanda.
She's great. I love her in this movie. She's so funny. And she is just like very complicated. Like she's a little neurotic, but I like that.
And she is just like so nice to Sophie and Olivia when she meets them. She just rolls with the punches. Like, didn't know there's gonna be kids at this party. It wasn't a party, obviously, but she's just like really sweet to them. So
oh yeah, she's really sweet. Now I have Mr. Brightside stuck in my Jealousy, turning saints into the sea, swimming through sea.
All right, let's move on. Iris.
Yeah. Keep going.
Okay, I'm up next with Iris. Oh, Iris. She's a very normal, neat, freak, healthy, non-smoking single lady who's super aware of how pathetic she is. And also, she's a Slytherin. You know how some, but not all, Slytherins are kind of mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she is absolutely a mean person to herself. She can't let go of dickhead Jasper. She does not act as a leading lady in her own life. And she absolutely thinks she's pathetic. So, not great. She shows some self-preservation, or more accurately, leads others to show self-preservation, like letting her brother stay at her house anytime he's drunk, keeping him safe, yelling at him for sleeping with Amanda in that hilarious phone conversation.
Oh my gosh, so funny.
Coercing Arthur to be the keynote speaker at that event, even though he didn't really want to. And I think she was really just scheming to get away from London and enjoy a holiday in a huge, fancy mansion. So, yeah. Slytherin.
Yeah. Now that you're saying it, I think she's very manipulative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe she and Jasper do belong together.
She is funny.
Psych, of course not. No, sorry.
She is funny when she first sees Amanda's house. And she just goes to room and room, is like jumping up and down and like does a face first, like plant or whatever it is on her bed. Oh my gosh, so funny.
Well, that long nap. I love naps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't take very many, but she looked like she had a great nap.
The first time I saw the when the things come down over the windows, I was like, yeah, I need that.
Yeah. It's awesome.
And I still don't have it. I thought by now I'd be rich enough to have Amanda's house, but I don't.
Yeah.
You're rich enough to have this Amanda's house.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I really like Kate Winslet in this role. I just think it's a really fun role for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that she's mean to herself.
She is. Know?
And I think a lot of people can relate to that. And it's really hard to, you forgive other people for things that you can't forgive yourself for. And she obviously really, really struggles with just like beating herself up. And I mean, by the end though, she's really figured it out. It's really, it's kind of like the best part of it. As much as I love Jude Law and like that whirlwind romance or whatever is nice. And he's obviously very sexy. I think the best part of the movie is the fact that Iris like figures out how to just like herself and just be with herself, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, yes.
Gets over Jasper. Yeah. Just makes friends with an old guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, her journey is the best for sure. Yeah. I love that she her love interest really is Arthur, and I love that about this movie. It's the best. Even she says on the phone, she's like, "Oh, I met this guy. You know, we have these really deep conversations. He's also about 90 years old." And Graham's like, "Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait, what? He's 90 years old."
They really both help each other, so it's a nice friendship.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I wish I could have a friendship so beautiful.
Wow.
JK.
You should go make friends with a 90-year-old man.
I'm going to.
Who's lost with his walker around your neighborhood.
No, I have beautiful friendships like that.
Okay, so if you see a man that's lost with his walker, are you going to help him?
No, I don't have time for that. I already have two friends.
Okay, that's fine.
No, of course I would.
It's like, how do you know he's lost though?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess honestly, if I saw a man with a walker just kind of like toddling around anywhere, I would probably be like, I'm just gonna make sure he knows where he's going. You know, and then I'd probably offend the man. He'd be like, yeah, I'm 90, I'm not stupid.
All right. Next. All right. Up next, we have the magical mashup.
Magical mashup.
And there's just one thing we have to discuss in the magical mashup, and that is Graham and how he is magical. Hear me out. I think he's Albus Dumbledore. No, I know what you're going to say, but seriously, think about it. He made that magical tent. He's English, can turn into Mr. Napkinhead on a whim, and he looks great in glasses. I am 100% sure that he is Albus Percival Wulfric Brian Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Oh, yeah.
He looks a lot like him when he was younger.
Yeah for sure.
It's just the resemblance is uncanny. Mm-hmm. How they just look like each other.
What if he's Dumbledore's son?
Oh, that's a great... could be.
Yeah.
I think he's just Dumbledore, though.
Okay.
I do think it's wild that he can turn into Mr. Napkinhead just like that.
Yeah.
Weird.
It was a really good piece of transfiguration.
Yeah, and that tent was, like, seriously magical, so there's got to be some magic going on.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely magical. or there's definitely magic going on there.
Yeah. I agree. Good point. All right. Well, that kind of sounded like an eerie theory. But I also have an eerie theory up for discussion today.
You're not going mad. You're just as sane as I am.
And it's kind of similar, actually. It's in the same vein of what you're talking about. It's that I think George Weasley, who obviously is grieving his brother Fred after he dies in the Battle of Hogwarts, right?
Uh-huh.
I think that he later goes on to make more, you know, magical sweets, introduces them to adoring and awestruck Muggle population, creates some factories to make those sweets, and ultimately goes by the name Willy Wonka.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering when we would do this eerie theory. Yeah, this is a good one. It's very well thought out on the internet at this point. Like, he has like the half of everything in his office in the movie. And so, you know, like, he's missing half of himself, basically, after Fred dies. So that, I always like that point. Obviously doing all the crazy magical things in the factory. Oh, God, I love that movie. Made me want to have candy.
I actually have never heard of this.
What doesn't before. Make you want to have
candy? That's a great question. Not much. I'm always wanting candy. You've never heard this?
No, I've never heard this theory. It is. I think it's good. I like it.
Well, here's a couple more points, I guess.
They even kind of look alike a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Here's some facts.
Facts. Got it.
Facts.
True facts?
Is this canon or headcanon?
Facts.
Okay. True facts.
Willy Wonka runs a candy factory. That's a fact.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's magical. Fact.
Mm-hmm.
The glass elevator, etc. I'm reading an article.
Fact. That's a fact that you're reading an article.
According to a chapter that was cut from the final version of Roald Dahl's book, Wonka developed a line of candies to help children get out of school. Pfft. Sounds a lot like giving snack boxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We also know that Wonka enjoys making candies that give a big reaction. Like exploding candy and four-course dinner gum. Things like this don't just happen with normal candy ingredients. Clearly, there's some magic behind it. This article's pretty bad. So, in any case, that's the theory, man. You've never heard that one?
No, I'm looking it up now, too. There's, like, a whole big following on this theory. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
And, like, how so? I did not think of this. And, like, we know Arthur really loves the Muggle world. And, I mean, Willy Wonka really did kind of provide this magic for Muggles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And nomadges,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, I really like this theory.
Yeah, it's really cool. And, like, we don't actually hear too much about George afterwards, but he does have a kid, doesn't he?
I don't know.
Oh, does he?
Is his kid named Charlie?
I think so. It's Charlie.
Woo, he adopts Charlie. Mm-mm. All right.
He has two kids with Angelina.
Fred and...
Oh, with Angelina? Roxanne. Oh, cute!
Roxanne, that's right.
Yeah. Roxanne.
Oh, we're not getting into that.
Anyway.
Shall we move
it's
on?
That's theory. A really good theory.
Yeah, I'm going to do look more research on that.
Look it up. Do your own research. Snowflakes.
Okay.
The time has come for answers. Have you brought the Veritaserum?
We're going to do the Veritaserum segment real quickly. This is a question from Justin. What's the best holiday? Danny, Christmas. I know yours is Halloween.
Yes, Halloween is the best holiday because you get a lot of candy. You get to dress up like somebody else. You get to like party. It's just an all-around good holiday. And usually the weather is shitty. But sometimes it can be kind of nice.
Yeah. Mish.
I think the best holiday is Arbor Day.
Yeah, I love trees.
Because I really love trees.
Give me oxygen.
I love trees every day.
All day, every day. I'm loving those trees.
All day, every day. Particularly in the early like the mid afternoon, I would say, like shortly after four is my favorite time
to love trees.
So that's why Arbor Day is the best holiday.
Mm-hmm. Love it. I'm going to go with New Year's Eve because, or New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, because you get to start fresh in a new year and you can kind of have a new beginning if you want. And it's the perfect time to start a new beginning. And
champagne.
That's a huge one. Love champagne. Okay. That was fun. Thank you, Justin.
Thanks, Justin.
You're the best. He would say Christmas, by the way. I just want to say that.
Yeah. I mean, and all jokes aside, mine's probably Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, I do. Like, Christmas and New Year's Eve are very up there for me.
Nah, really, Halloween's my favorite. I like to be creative with my costumes.
And you are really good at that, Danny. You are really good.
You are really good at that, yeah.
Yeah. It's a fun holiday. Not as much pressure as Christmas.
True.
All right. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome. Oh, wait. Okay.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the holiday episode. Don't forget to like us, rate us 5 stars, subscribe, share, comment, or whatever else you want to do to keep us going. Please follow us on Instagram at sloppy.sorting.hat, Twitter at sloppysorting, and on Facebook. Also, check out our TikTok at sloppysortinghat for some special sloppy stuff. Send us questions and suggestions. Until next time, stay sloppy.
You are a prodigy, a doodle prodigy. Do 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 do